Last week, we looked at the beginning of the book of Revelation. And one of the things that I wanted to help us with was to be able to imagine their context, to put ourselves in the shoes of those people in the first century after Christ's death and resurrection. To try and understand what it would have been like living in the world they lived in, where there was persecution and trouble and danger. To be able to persevere, to endure in hope and expectation as disciples, even if it was going to cost them everything. And what I tried to draw out of that first chapter was how the book of Revelation and how prophecy and apocalyptic literature grabs a hold of our imagination. It gives us new vision. It reveals what's going on in this world in a way that we don't see just apparently with our own eyes all the time. You see, for them, if they looked around the world and on the one hand they said, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the King of all the kings of the earth. And they looked around the world and they saw the Emperor of Rome. They saw people seemingly being persecuted and killed on a whim. These things didn't match up, and so the book of Revelation tries to pull back that curtain and say, listen, even though it looks like this is what's going on, God is at work. God's purposes and plans are not being thwarted. And so today we come to the first Sunday in Advent. And we just heard Phil and Jenna, when Phil was talking about how Advent means waiting. Advent also means coming. It's this idea that something is about to happen. Something is coming. Something is on the way. And so inherent in Advent is waiting. I hope you've noticed over the years, if you've been around for any of my Advent sermons, that for me, and I think for all of us, it's important to recognize that Advent's not just about waiting for Christmas Day. It's not about just remembering that Jesus was born, even though that is a big part of what we do. Certainly not about just waiting and making the slog through the time for Santa and the Christmas tree and the presents, even though that's fun too. Advent isn't just something that happened in the past. It's not just remembering Christmas, the first Christmas. Advent should be an opportunity for us to draw a connection between those first people who are waiting in darkness for the light to come and our own situation as people in between times, as people who are awaiting Christ's coming. Are we not? We are still an Advent people. We are people in waiting. And so the question that this passage in Luke and really the whole book of Revelation tries to answer is, what should God's people do in that waiting period? What should they do? How should they be? So Jesus, when he was with his disciples, they were walking through the temple and they were noticing all the temple stones and how magnificent the temple was. And Jesus is like, you know what? In short order, none of these stones are going to be left on top of each other. And he goes on to tell them about what's going to happen. And he foretells the fall of Jerusalem. But then he goes on and he looks even further out into the future. And that's what we are reading this morning in verses 27 through 33. Jesus is looking beyond just the destruction of Jerusalem to that final, ultimate, second coming of the Son of Man in the clouds. So to refresh your memories, and you can open your Bibles there as well, what we read starting in verse 27. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When those things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them this parable, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So before this passage, he had been talking about all these horrible signs that are going to take place. And then after this, he talks about the importance of them being ready, because all of this is going to happen unexpectedly. He uses the words like a trap, which isn't a very comforting thought, right? No one likes to think about Jesus' return as the snapping of a rat trap or something like that. But it's sudden like that. But Jesus, what he really wants them to grab a hold of in all of this is not that just to be in fear. Okay, because right here in these verses I read once more, he says, when you see these things begin to take place, he doesn't say, go hide in your house and cower and be afraid. He says, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And so all of these horrible signs that are going on for the disciple is confirmation that their redemption is actually drawing near. Now that's really backwards to the way we would normally think about things. Similarly to those people in modern day Turkey who the Revelation was written to. So Jesus wants to help them to understand that no matter how dark the night looks, in fact, the darker it gets, you might be closer to the dawn. And their response should not be to cower and hide, but to lift up their heads and move on through their lives in expectation and hope. So this is encouragement that Jesus is giving them, but that's not all that Jesus is trying to do here, I don't think. I think what Jesus is trying to do here and all throughout Scripture, whenever we see prophecy that talks about the future and what's going to take place, the goal is always to prepare you to respond here and now. I don't know how you think about the end times. In the Covenant Church, we allow a lot of freedom there. We don't have a particular way of thinking about it necessarily, except that Christ is going to come. We're not sure when that's going to happen. But sometimes when we think about that so much, and we sometimes dig into the book of Revelation or into the book of Daniel or maybe into what Jesus is saying here, and we turn it into some kind of a roadmap to try and calculate exactly when Christ is going to return. And friends, I got to tell you, I just don't think that's the point of those passages. I think the point of those passages always is to encourage the believer in their life right now and what they ought to be doing. So the gospel, prophetic word, all of these things are promises that by the power of the Holy Spirit pull back the curtain on the apparent order of things, but then send us forth to live as citizens of a kingdom that is not yet fully arrived but is on the way. All of this stuff that sounds so scary about the end, all of God's promises about what's to come, should be spurring us on to living more freely and completely into being the people of God, citizens of heaven, here on earth today. There's a book called Standing on the Promises by Lewis Smedes. And what he says, that for the Christian life, the hardest thing is not hoping for other people, and the hardest thing is not praying for other people. The hardest thing for a Christian to do, for those who believe in the second coming of Christ, is to live a sort of life that makes people say, "Ah, so that's how people are going to live when righteousness takes over our world." as people, Advent people who believe Jesus has come and will come again. How we pray, how we worship, how we live and treat other people. All of these things witness to our belief that Christ is coming again. Because friends, if we don't believe that, why do anything? Why do anything at all unless it serves ourselves? It's really that simple. There was a story that Oz Guinness told. He recorded a story that happened about 220, 230 years ago, I think it was, in the Connecticut House of Representatives. They were in session on a bright day in May. And they were able to do their work by the natural light. You know, back then they didn't really have all the electricity, the LEDs and everything that we have nowadays. But something happened that scared everyone, that wasn't expected. Right in the middle of debate, when they were in session, the day turned to night, clouds obliterated the sun, everything was super dark. And some of the legislators thought it was the second coming. So there was a clamor that arose in there, and people wanted to adjourn, some people wanted to pray, some people wanted to do whatever they thought they needed to do to prepare for the arrival of the Lord. But the Speaker of the House had a different idea. He was a believer, and he rose to the occasion when everyone was upset, and this is what he said. He said, "We're all upset by the darkness. Some of us are afraid. But the day of the Lord is either approaching or it's not. If it's not, there's no cause for adjournment. And if the Lord is returning, I, for one, choose to be found doing my duty. I therefore ask that candles be brought." I thought that was the coolest story because that really mirrors, I think, how we ought to process and respond to the prophetic word that we hear about the second coming, the return of Christ. What do you do about it? I mean, we get all wound up in this sometimes. But the truth is, I think that all of Scripture, and just like this guy was saying, this legislator was saying, what God's desire for us is not to freak out and panic or anything else, but to do what God has always and ever asked us to do as his people. To carry out the mission and ministry that God has given the church. And if the second coming is at hand this afternoon or tomorrow, so be it. It either is or it isn't. And please, please, be skeptical of anyone who tries to tell you the day. Because Scripture itself says no one knows the day or the hour except for the Father. So friends, this Advent season, by all means remember the Christ child. Remember the Christ child. But also remember the King that is yet to come. Remember that you are not so different from those shepherds in the fields, or the wise men, or Mary and Joseph, or anyone else who is waiting in darkness for the coming of the Messiah. We wait still. Our salvation has not yet been fully realized. So Advent's a pretty cool season, I think. And hopefully it can remind us what we're about all year round, Advent people. So pay attention to those times where you're reminded of Christ's return and coming. Just a few moments, we're going to come to the table. And every time we come to the table, Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. Don't miss that we're people that are waiting. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we ponder your return, may we be spurred on to lives of readiness and service, of love and compassion. May we, God, live by the power of your Spirit as citizens of this kingdom that's coming. May we bless other people through it, and may other people be drawn to you by your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.